makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee bring you the Charlie McCarthy Show. This is Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Nita Gordon, Mortimer Sturt, Pat Patrick, and our guests for this evening, Nelson Eddy and Miss Millie Burke. And here's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Bergen's got a birthday. Bergen's got a birthday.
What's the racket, Charlie?
Oh, hello, Bergen. I hate to bring up unpleasant subjects. But isn't today your birthday?
Yes, yes, it is. But I don't mind having birthdays.
No?
No. Of course, I must confess that today I sort of sneaked into my 30s.
Sneaked into the 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother, you have slopped over into the 40s.
No.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice, Charlie, that that most of the great men were born in February?
Yeah.
Well, there's Washington and Lincoln and
Bergen and Jack Benny.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the exceptions that louse up the rule.
Well, anyway, Charlie, I felt flattered that you remembered my natal day.
Well, that's all right, Bergen. I'm not one to hold a grudge.
Oh,
I even bought you a birthday present.
A present?
Uh-huh.
Well, now, thank you, Charlie. You don't know, Charlie, what your thoughtfulness means to me.
No,
the words seem to stick in my throat.
Yeah, well, I... Your words stick in my throat, too. You know, I won't... Lend me your hanky, Bergen, will you?
You haven't a handkerchief?
Well, I got a dead beetle wrapped up in mine.
No, I... Well, may I unwrap this present now?
You go ahead. I wanted to get you a silver cigarette lighter.
Oh.
But I just couldn't quite make it, so I got you this.
Oh. Well, you shouldn't have, Charlie. It's Well, is this the present?
Yeah.
This can of lighter fluid?
Yeah. I knew you'd like it. Maybe next year I can get you the lighter to go with it.
I see.
Well, happy birthday, Edgar.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Nelson Eddy. Well, thank you. Very happy day.
Edgar, how about a light?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Nelson. I haven't any matches.
Well, where's the lighter we all chipped in on?
Mr. Eddie, why don't you sing, huh?
Now?
Yeah, even sooner.
Oh, no, not yet. I want to see Bergen's new silver
cigarette. Let's sing a duet, Mr. Eddie. Come on. Shortening bread, lengthening bread.
Quiet, Charlie. Now, today's Edgar's birthday. What about the lighter, huh?
Yeah, you're right, Mr. Eddie. I believe Bergen is lighter.
Yeah.
Especially around the hairline.
Now, don't change the subject. Edgar, didn't Charlie give you the monogram cigarette lighter he collected our money for?
Uh-huh.
The noose is tightening.
Say, I'd like to know where it is, too. Good.
Charlie,
yeah.
They're insinuating that you've misappropriated their money.
The swine.
Now, I suggest that you ask them to prove it.
Well, that's the trouble. I think they can.
Yeah.
After all, Charlie, what did you take us for?
$10. No, I can explain everything.
Well, we're waiting, Charlie.
Yes, sir. Well, you see, I was walking down to buy the lighter, you know, mm-hmm. Mr. Carr. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. A candy store came up and smacked me right in the kisser.
Oh, a candy store, huh?
Yeah, yes, uh-huh. And I tried to pass it. Oh, so help me, I tried. But I couldn't. It sort of hypnotized me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good, hypnotized. Yeah.
All right, Charlie, keep talking.
Yeah, well, suddenly temptation set in, see? And, you know, I haven't been so tempted since the time the truant officer leaned over to tie his shoe.
Don't tell me you spent the whole $10 on candy.
Oh, of course not. The rest of it went for a repeating bean shooter, a wiretapping outfit, And
why, the little Jesse James, he clipped us like a hedge.
Yeah, we should have had more sense in the trust, Charlie.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. So don't try to blame me for your stupidity.
Well, what are you going to do about it, Charlie?
Well, I'll be big about it. I am perfectly willing to forget the whole incident.
Charlie, I think a good spanking is in order.
Spank a kid like me?
Yeah.
I thought that was all behind me.
That's exactly where you're going to get it. Now,
oh, Virgin, please help, help, help.
Our singing star, Miss Anita Gordon, sings now, A Gal in Calico, accompanied by Ray Noble and his orchestra.
She's a gal in calico, down in Santa Fe. Used to have a Sunday boat, but he rode away. Does he want her? Does he want her love? Yes, sirree. Will he win her? Will he win her love? Wait and see. Now he's with the rodeo, goes from town to town. Sees most every kind of gal, every kind of gown. But who made his heart sing? Yippee-i, yippee-o. His little gal in calico.
You think Chase and Sanborn. When you taste Chase and Sanborn, that's shade-grown flavor. Yes, the overwhelming abundance of extra flavor that you taste in Chase and Sanborn comes from finer coffees slow-grown in tropical shade. Shade-grown flavor is what makes Chase and Sanborn so popular today. And here's where it comes from. In the tropics, the power of the sun is terrific on everything that grows, so that coffee exposed to constant sunlight grows too fast, ripens prematurely. And that's why these finer coffees are shade-grown, to slow up the growing process. Growing time is flavor-making time. Each day adds a little more flavor, a little more to your enjoyment. Under an awning of taller shade trees, the coffee beans form and develop. Shielded from the sun, they mature completely, filled to bursting with the shade-grown flavor that makes Chase and Sanborn so delicious. Make the most of this grand opportunity. Ask your grocer for Chase and Sanborn, the coffee with shade-grown flavor.
Oh, 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 huggin' and chalkin' and chuggin' and hawkin'. Oh, zazoo, 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 zazoo. Oh, hush up out there, will you? Break it up, will you, folks there? Why don't you get lost?
Now, wait a minute, Martin. No, that's your audience out there.
Yeah. Listen to them maroons.
Maroons, yeah.
You don't suppose they've had too much hard cider, do you?
Oh, no, 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 no. Now, don't let them disturb you, Mortimer.
No. Oh, they just sit there and laugh at me.
Well, that's all right.
People are disgusting.
No, 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 they aren't.
Well, anyway, when I grow up, I ain't gonna be a people.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Yes, you are.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah. You mustn't talk that way about your public.
No.
Why, no. You know, they made you what you are today.
No?
Yeah.
Well, shame on them.
Remember, Mortimer, that people like to laugh.
Yes, it's good for them. So you see, Mortimer, you're like a medicine.
Really?
Yes.
You mean I leave a bad taste in their mouths?
No. No. No, laughter relieves nervous tension and fatigue and induces a sense of well-being.
Yeah?
Yes.
Does it take off warts, too?
No. No, you see, people laugh at you because you tickle their fancy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Their fancy what?
No.
Oh, there you go again now. Smart Alex.
No. Always remember that little rhyme. A little nonsense now and then is relished by the best of men.
And a dish ran away with a spoon.
No. Even the radio listeners say that you're a lot of fun to listen to over the air.
Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. You know, every Sunday I rush right home to listen to me.
You do?
Yeah. But I always get there just a little too late.
Yeah.
Funniest thing?
Yeah. Well, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. Yeah.
No, I know a sillier joke than that.
You do?
Yeah, I know a very funny joke. Oh, boy.
Ah, so you know a joke.
No, I'll say I do, boy.
Why don't you tell it?
Because I think I've already heard it.
Oh. No. Mortimer.
How can you be so utterly stupid?
Oh, I just relax and let nature take its course.
Charlie is really burned up about Nelson Eddy going over so big on our show last week.
Well, Edgar, no, I don't blame Charlie, because Mr. Eddy tried to call this the Nelson Eddy show.
Well, now, his fan mail is some indication of his popularity, and the hundreds of letters that have been pouring in all week say the same thing.
Edgar, believe me, old boy, that just proves that he's got a mimeographing machine, which is what I said all along.
Where is he? That's all. I'm going to make Swyback out of Mr. Eddie's shortening bread.
No.
Listen, Thurgood, you know what I want you to...
No, please, now, don't count me in on any of this. I don't want to be included in any of your schemes.
No.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Ray.
Uh-huh.
Ray, now, this is just between you and me and the lamppost.
Right, old boy, just the three of us.
Yeah. Now, here's an ad that I cut out of the paper, Ray.
Uh-huh.
Read it, will you?
Yeah. Actors Wanted by the Artists Overseas Service Guild.
See? Get the idea?
No, old boy, no, I don't.
Well, we'll get Eddie to go around the world, see, on a round-world trip.
Yes, but how on earth will he get back?
Well, that's his worry. Now, we'll act as his agents and sign him up, see?
Oh, yes, now I get it. We're going to sell him.
Right down the river. Let's get going, Ray.
This is Billy Burke speaking. This is the Overseas Service Gilded Artist. And I mean, this is the Over-Gilded Artist Service Sea. The Sea's Overstuffed Artist Service. Oh, I hope you have the wrong number. Goodbye.
Now to get back to our dictation. Yours sincerely, Nelson Eddy. Now, that last letter must be about 3 pages long. Did you get all of it?
Well, almost. What did you say after dear sir?
You mean you didn't take it down? What happened to your shorthand?
I must have left it in my other pencil.
Oh, that's a fine thing. I donate my time to get overseas entertainment. The least they could do is provide me with a capable stenographer.
Well, I'll promise to do better, Mr. Burke.
Good. Now, the next... My name is Mr. Eddy. Your name is Burke.
Well, of course. It always takes me a while to get people's names straight.
Well, then I'll forgive you, Miss Eddy.
Thank you.
Did you get all those letters typed that I dictated this morning?
Oh, I mislaid my glasses.
Then you didn't do them?
Yes, I did, but I typed them all on the cash register.
You mean you couldn't tell the difference?
Well, I did get a little suspicious when the front end of the machine kept popping out and hitting me in the tummy.
Oh, enough of this. Now, look, I have to find a singer for this show that is leaving tomorrow.
Well, I interviewed a woman yesterday with a fine contralto voice.
Well, how did she sound?
Oh, something like this. Open the door, Dickie Boy.
Oh, no. I'm looking for a baritone voice.
Oh, Miss Eddie, why don't you sing for me and show me just what you want?
Noah's three children from a land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they took a trip into the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, it took a lot of gold and it made an idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And it told everybody when you hear the music of the cornet and the flute and the harp, you must fall down and worship the idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the children of Israel would not bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You couldn't fool them with a golden idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I said you couldn't fool them with a golden idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So the king put the chillin' in a fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He heaped on the coals and the red-hot brimstone, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. 7 times hotter, ooh, hotter than it ought to be, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Burned up the soldiers the king had put down, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the Lord sent an angel with snowy white wings down in the middle of the finest, talking to the children about the plot of gospel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, it couldn't even burn a hell to hate a Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, laughing and a-talking while the fire was a-jumping round. Yeah, Meshach, Abednego. Now old Nebuchadnezzar called her Hader when he saw the power of the Lord. And he had a big time in the house of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Abednego.
Yeah, man, and there's gospel.
This must be the place, Ray. It says right here on the door, it says the Artist Overseas Service Guild.
Yeah.
Let's go in. Well, where is everybody? Hello? Hello, anybody here?
Well, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Well, madam, we are here, you see.
Oh, of course. You are here to wash the windows.
No, we have a very fine singer we want to send out of the country. See, we're theatrical agents.
Yes, madam. Agents have to have... I beg your pardon. Actors have to have agents.
I was in show business once.
Oh, really? And were you a dancer?
No. I started out as a flagpole sitter. But I kept slipping to half-mast.
Oh. That was too bad.
No, it wasn't. After that, I got a better job with the circus. They shot me out of a cannon.
I say, that must have thrilled the audience.
Oh, yes, I went over with a bang.
That wasn't a very nice job for a lady, being loaded every night. Did it pay well?
Yes, I got room and board and 10 cents a mile. It was really quite pleasant flying through the air with the wind and popcorn in my hair. Except when I missed the net.
Yeah. Missed it quite often, didn't you, Kitty?
Yes, but I still love the circus. I guess I have sawdust in my blood.
Yeah. Oh, you too. Well, I know how you feel.
Friends. Friends, my name is Ursel Twing, and...
Yes,
that's right, it surely is. And I am just the world's peachiest portrayer of Shakespearean caricaturizations.
Well, of course, that's all very well and good, you know, but not many people read Shakespeare nowadays.
Well, I do, because a very good friend of mine once gave me the works.
What a pity. You just can't trust anyone.
I know.
Tell me, are you familiar with The Merchant of Venice?
Well, no, I am not, you see, because I live in Chula Vista. Yes, I really do. But I do know Hamlet.
You do?
Yes, and I quote, to be or not to be, that is the question.
Is it really?
Uh-huh. Well, no, it's not really. It isn't much of a question either, because I know all the answers.
You strike me as the romantic type.
Oh, for goodness sakes, my gosh, I do.
Yes, I can just see you climbing up the trellis, doing the balcony scene in Romeo and Juliet.
You can. Oh, well, I tried that once, but the altitude made my nose bleed. Huh? Oh, I was a mess.
Well, most certainly are.
Yeah. Oh, forsooth on you.
Forsooth on you,
and
too.
And a double forsooth right back to you. If that's the way you feel, I will go. Oh, parting is such sweet sorrow. But I will only say goodbye.
I say, could you please hurry, madam? We want to see the man who books the entertainment overseas.
Well, whom shall I say is calling?
Well, tell him it's Rush and Hurry, theatrical representatives for Nelson Eddy.
Very good, sir. I shall tell him. Just a moment. Mr. Eddy, there are two agents outside who say they want to send you overseas.
Well, what do they look like?
Well, one is a short fellow with a high silk monocle, and the other is a blonde man in a tall tuxedo.
Aha! That's McCarthy and Noble. I'll fix him. This makeup I have here is going to come in handy.
Why are you putting on those false whiskers?
I'm going to scare the pants off them.
Oh, dear, this is no place for a lady.
Well, show them in, and remember, don't give me away.
Oh, you know me. Dumb is the word. Yo-ho, boys. I mean, gentlemen, come in. Oh, my, you must think I'm a scatterbrain.
Yeah, well, we'd be glad to. Run along now. Say, who is this guy with the chin fungus, this face lace here?
Kakwashivash, Kamensky, my Franskis.
How do you do, Ski?
My name is Borislav Yeryovich.
Yeah.
I understand that you represent Nelson Hedy.
Yeah.
Now, where would you like to send him? Here's a map.
Well, where we would like him to go ain't on the map.
Let's see me. I got a split wig between Minsk and Pinsk.
Well, he wants to go on a longer trip than that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Tibet, for example?
Yeah.
But people who go there, they never come back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good, Charles. Hey, give us the contract for Tibet, yeah.
Yes, and shall we both sign it?
Oh, da. I want you both to get what is coming to
yeah.
you.
Sure. Uh-huh. Well, R.T.H.
McCarthy. Signed
and delivered.
Harasho!
Yeah, well, God bless you, too. Yeah. You know, I sort of hate to do this to Nelson.
Does seem a shame, doesn't it?
Now, you gentlemen, you will have to be ready to leave tomorrow.
No, you're mistaken. We are not leaving.
No, you are the mistaken.
What?
You have signed a contract to leave tomorrow.
What?
And now I take off my whiskers.
Nelson, Eddy!
Oh, no. But Mr. Eddy, where are you going to send us?
Admiral Byrd needs some entertainment at the South Pole.
Oh! Ay, ay, ay. That means Southern Fried Penguin. I don't like it.
Easy to fill your cup with more flavorful coffee at every meal these days. Just ask for Chasen's Sanborn, the coffee with shade-grown flavor. Yes, it's so easy that all over the country, America is making the most of it. In the past year, more people got more pleasure from Chasen's Sanborn than ever before. It's the shade-grown flavor that everybody wants in lavish, overwhelming abundance. There's more flavor there to enjoy, so naturally, more people enjoy it. All records are broken by the demand for this special shade-grown goodness. And Chasen Sanborn goes right on making new friends every day. Shade-grown means slow-grown, and slow-grown means flavor-grown. That's the story of the bonus of flavor that you taste in Chasen Sanborn. Don't eat another meal without it. Don't wait until mealtime to enjoy it. At any hour, with food or alone, Chasen Sanborn makes the occasion. Remember, by the cup, you call it coffee. By the pound, it's Chasen Sanborn. Ask for Chasen Sanborn, the coffee with shade-grown flavor. The United States Army has asked us to call the attention of young men to the opportunities it offers for education, travel, and interesting work. Officials point out that the Army today is a new Army. It's a big Army. It's a technical Army. And it's involved in the most important question we face today, the maintenance of world peace. Full information on the opportunities offered to young men can be obtained easily at any Army recruiting office or by writing to the United States Army, Washington, D.C. Listen in next Sunday when Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble, Anita Gordon, and Pat Patrick will welcome as their guest Elsa Maxwell. And Nelson Eddy will also be back with us. This week, when you're buying coffee, think of us and ask for Chasen Sanborn, the coffee with shade-grown flavor. This is Ken Carpenter speaking to you from the Pasadena Playhouse, Pasadena, California. Have you ever tried V8 vegetable juices hot? You know, most folks are well acquainted with the bracing flavor of chilled V8. They enjoy it as a breakfast juice or as a cocktail before dinner. Perhaps the children have V8 in larger glasses with lunch. Well, here's a brand new way to enjoy that delicious gardeny flavor. Try V8 hot. Just heat and it's ready to serve. Your first whiff of the tempting, fragrant V8 hot will tell you why so many people enjoy its rich, flavory goodness on chilly days. You see, V8 combines the juices of various vegetables, fresh from the garden. Juices of carrots, watercress, spinach and beets, tomatoes, celery, lettuce and parsley. And these juices are so skillfully blended, they actually flavor each other. No wonder V8 tastes so good. No wonder V8 Hot has created such enthusiasm. So tomorrow, get an extra can or two of V8 at your grocer's. And remember, cold or hot, there's a wealth of garden goodness in every delicious sip of V8 vegetable juices.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.